You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back. Our guest is Dr. Sebastian Gorka. You see him everywhere. He's like the Scarlet Pimpernel, I think, in the best sense of the word. He is, at the moment, helping us understand the nature of the enemy we're facing and how to defeat them. It is the subject of his new book, a New York Times bestseller, I'm pleased to say, Defeating Jihad, the Winnable War. He is a professor at the Marine Corps University and a very active contributor to the public policy debate. And Seb, we were talking there about the Brotherhood and it as being sort of a feedstock, if you will, for jihadists of all kinds, employing all of these different techniques. This is an organization that is very poorly understood, it seems, by the U.S. government. I mean, as bad as the problem is generally in terms of understanding the enemy, it seems particularly true of the Brotherhood. Describe its role in this global jihad movement.
This is, yes, absolutely something that isn't adequately understood, not just by the general public, but by the United States government, the law enforcement, and the military, mainly because of the censorship we've experienced in the last 7 years. So the Muslim Brotherhood is the granddaddy of all modern jihad. So jihad can be traced back 1,400 years to the establishment of the Muslim faith. We know Muhammad was a military leader. He vanquished and destroyed whole tribes, Jewish tribes, Arab tribes. So jihad has been part of the faith story, if you will, for more than 1,000 years. It's modern reinvention and its development into a global scourge that resulted in 9/11 and all the attacks we see today can be laid at the doorstep of the Ikhwan Muslimin, the Muslim Brotherhood, which was created in the Suez region of Egypt in 1928. And why was it created? It was created in direct response to the dissolution 4 years previously by President Ataturk of the Caliphate. So as a result of World War I, the president of the new secular Turkish Republic decreed that after 1,000 years, 1,100 years of existence, there would be a more theocratic empire and the caliph would be retired. In response, we saw fundamentalist jihadi organizations created around the world, but they all derived their ideological foundation from the Muslim Brotherhood.
We're talking with Seb Gorka, and you're making this critically important point about the role that the Brotherhood has played in inspiring and spawning, really, virtually all of the modern jihadist organizations, Seb. And yet we're seeing the United States government, it was, I think, palpable, if not made explicit, in the comments that Secretary Jay Johnson of the Department of Homeland Security made to Senator Cruz just yesterday in the Judiciary Committee hearing, to the effect that the people that he's talking to, the Muslims that he's talking to, are telling him you can't use words like Islam and Sharia and jihad because it will offend us and we won't be able to help you help us. Seb, is it the case today that the United States government has been embracing what are in fact the leading edge of the enemy, the global jihadist movement?
Well, the facts are plain, and anybody can Google them. The Council for American Islamic Relations was registered, was decreed to be an unindicted co-conspirator in the Holy Land Foundation trial, which was the largest terrorism threat financing trial in U.S. history. Yet, despite being listed as such, it continued to provide advice, training, and influence policy within the highest levels of the U.S. government. And not only that, 6 years ago, the White House decreed and sent an unclassified memo to the then Attorney General and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, the highest military officer in the United States, to say that all counterterrorism training must be scrubbed, any mention of Islam must be removed, and words jihad should be prohibited. People must understand that that measure, that self-censorship that endangers Americans, was the direct result of a letter written to the White House and signed by organizations such as CARE, which in my opinion really do not represent American Muslims, but have a stranglehold on how the government understands the threat and what can or cannot be said in the United States today.
I can't can't frankly get my head around why people don't understand what you just said, Seb, that this kind of practice, this willful blindness, is endangering Americans. And yet we heard Jay Johnson say yesterday that he thinks our law enforcement personnel are smart enough to be able to connect the dots, even if they're not allowed to see some of the dots, even if they're not allowed to be cued to the fact that there are dots to connect, let alone the fact that it is a career-threatening offense to connect those dots. Walk us through that, Seb, and the practical implications of what this willful blindness is doing to our law enforcement, our military, our intelligence personnel, and you train all of them.
Yeah, I really suggest your listeners watch the 6-minute video that Senator Cruz posted on Facebook. Jay Johnson drips arrogance in this congressional hearing. And as you said, in the last replies to the senator, he basically says, well, we are censoring, but our guys will probably work it out anyway. So there's an admission there that they're not allowed to say the truth, and that people like Phil Haney did lose their job, were punished when they did try to connect the dots. And it has reached Pythonic levels of absurdity. If I may share an anecdote, I was in out west 2 months ago, and I briefed 300 law enforcement officers, local, state, and local. I gave them 8 hours of what I do, which is understanding the mind of jihad and who these people are and the brotherhood and everything else. At the end of the 8 hours, an attractive young girl walks up to me and says, "That's really interesting, Dr. Gorka. You're very smart, but clearly you're wrong on most of these issues, because the major threat to all these law enforcement officers is white supremacist militias." And then she gives me her card, and who does she work for? The Department of Homeland Security. So this is the reality. We have the threat that you, your listeners, myself, live in, and there is the Alice in Wonderland fantasy that the administration has created. And if you step outside of the line of their narrative, you will be punished.
As sort of variation on the theme, which goes back to a point you made earlier about the redacted transcripts of the 9/11 calls that this jihadist Mateen made while he was killing people in Orlando. That was, in a way, bizarrely, it was very helpful that the FBI did that, because it made accessible to lots of people what you and I have been warning about for a long time. But I'm told that the organization you rightly described as a Muslim Brotherhood Front, the Council on American Islamic Relations, was involved in not only selecting the people that the FBI could meet with from the mosque that the shooter attended, and attended very faithfully, by the way, but they also sat in on the interviews that the FBI conducted with such people. I mean, from the perspective of a counterterrorism professional, a political warfare expert, what are the implications of that, Seb Gorka?
The implications are that the people who carry the badges, the credentials, and the guns, who have vouchsafed the safety of their fellow Americans, are living in an Orwellian world where the people who have shared interests, those who want to kill Americans and undermine the American constitutional order, have an influence, have a say in how these individuals are investigated. It's if you read it in a Tom Clancy novel, I think you would say this is absurd. But this is the situation we are in. The idea that we cannot talk truth about who the enemy is, and when an enemy does rear his head, that those who sympathize with him are part of the process in which he is screened, it beggars belief.
It does indeed. Senator Gorka, we're going to be talking more about all of that right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.